Hey guys, welcome to Electronic Dance Money, your number one business resource for making money as electronic musicians and producers. What is up, everyone? Welcome back to a brand new episode of Electronic Dance Money, and this one's going to be a fucking killer one. I've got Evan here. You guys know him from the Human Music Podcast, or Rip Kenny, his artist name, which is what we're primarily going to be talking about today. Evan, yes. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Happy to be on this show. For real, man.
I know. I am so excited to have you on this show. Last time we were chatting about just kind of, you know, what it takes to go full time in the industry, what that looks like. And this time we're meeting because we're talking about your album, which is unbelievable. It came out last month, and you're prepping some promo stuff right now, which I'm super excited. We'll talk a little bit about that. But I gotta say, like, the album is so true to, I think, what you want to, how you want to represent yourself as an artist. I think it's how most people want to represent themselves as an artist. It is pure art and pure creative. Probably my favorite track out of that is I'm Okay Alone. Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like track 12 or something, track 10.
Yeah.
That track, I fucking, the melodic elements to it are really what hooked me, and it's just that was by far probably my favorite track out of the whole album.
Hell yeah, that one's fun because it tells a story, like, in itself. Like, the album, like, tells a story as a whole, but that track in particular really kind of stands out as being something that's, like, I guess, memorable.
Yeah, the whole album itself is like, what I think is really great about it is it's aggressive. It's a pretty aggressive album, but there's a lot of melodic elements to it, especially with the vocals and the way you tell the story in the album, because it is a story. And I mean, that's the reason why you created the video that you did. And again, we'll get into that in a little bit. But how long did you take to write that album?
It took me from, like, conception to, like, actually finishing the mix and master on everything, about 2.5 years. The first part of that 2.5 years, I was still releasing other music, like, basically just finishing up other songs and releasing it as I was working on writing stuff for the album. So it wasn't like full-fledged, like, only thinking about the album for 2.5 years. But yeah, it took me basically that to conceptualize it, start working on how to put the pieces together, and then get it all wrapped up.
Let's jump into that real quick, because I'm really curious what that looks like for an electronic music producer, what writing an album looks like. Because I feel like with bands, it's a little bit different. You know, maybe if they're on the road, they're writing some songs every once in a while. They're kind of getting ideas down, but then usually they'll book like 2 to 4 weeks at a studio, and they'll write an entire album in that time frame. I feel like with electronic music producers, you don't necessarily need to do that as much, just because, you know, we do it all, right? We do all the songwriting. Most of the time we do all the mixing, and most of the time we do all the mastering. But so you have that, you have the ability to just jump around. How different was your workflow from when you had to write the album and then writing tracks in between, writing tracks for the album and releasing those? Like, did you have a completely different mindset every time you were going in and be like, I'm going to write a track for the album here? Or was it you kind of fucked around along the way and you're like, oh, that's a good idea for the album?
Yeah. So really it was like the tracks that I was finishing up, I had already like written, like, as far as like the song, like the structure and the most of the elements. Like, obviously when you're like mixing and mastering stuff, you end up like adding some layers and just kind of beefing some stuff up, but like for the most part all of those songs were written and I was doing the engineering on them. And then basically it was like one day a week I had set aside an entire day to write a song for the album. Obviously not every song that you write is A+. So you got to write more songs than you want to release. And this album was definitely no exception. And yeah, so it was nice that there was that division of work for me, because all of my creative energy was spent in that album headspace, but all of the like finishing a song, like getting some promo content for it, like putting it out and marketing it and all that stuff was like still happening for all the other stuff. But where my head was at was the album for sure.
Yeah. I think albums too, I feel like they're starting to come back. It felt like between probably 2013 to up until the last couple of years, albums felt dead. Like specifically within electronic music.
For sure.
People weren't writing albums. They're all writing singles. Everyone started opening up their own record label, and so they wanted to pump out singles. And so I feel like albums haven't been a big thing. I think they might be coming around. I hope they are, because I honestly think writing in albums is probably one of the best things to do as an artist, like full stop, completely, like 360 degrees across your entire career. That's the best thing you can do for a couple of reasons. One, I think you can write a much better story in an album, which leads to better marketing, which leads to individuals respecting that work of art a bit more and relating to it a lot more. And so that we talked about it in our last podcast, like the Glitch Mob, Nero, Metric for me is another big one. But all of these albums, like I found these artists through their albums. And once I found that album, I was fucking hooked. I'm like, I'm a super fan now. I'll see you anytime you're in town or near my town. I'll replay this album constantly over and over again. And so it's a great way to create super fans. And you just, I feel like you're not really seeing that anymore.
Yeah. I like that you mentioned Superfan, because it's really what the album is for, right? Like for me, like if I find an artist that I love, like I hope to God they have an album that represents exactly what they want to do that I can listen to. Because like, when you got a playlist, you know, it's dark bass music, whatever, and you like listen through all that stuff, it's not cohesive. Yeah, it has a time and a place, right? You're like, you know, you're working out or whatever, but like when you want to like dive into something that really is you hope that that artist has an album that you can listen to. And if they do and it's really good, like exactly what you said, you're a super fan. Like if Nero is ever within 100 miles of me, like I'm gonna go see him, like yeah, like for real. And that's kind of also the thing with it, right? Like you have to have a reason to make an album, you know. You have to have a bigger story to tell, or a bigger picture, like not just 12 songs that exist as like, you know, standard things that you could put in a playlist and not know the difference. Like there has to be a reason that you listen to the album front to back.
It needs to take you on a journey. Like yeah, you gotta go somewhere. And a lot of that times you're going into a story that the artist wants to tell. And you know, if producers listening to this, if you're like, fuck, well, I don't know what story to tell, tell your, like your life story is a story in and of itself. And it's completely different from everyone else in the world. So understanding an artist through their story that way is it's just, that is how you build a super fan. Like everything you do with that. And the thing about an album too is I saw you were doing this, where you can take four singles out of a 12-14 track album and release all of those throughout the year. So it's like, not only with an album do you have a lengthy body of work, but you have more releases that you can release just straight out as singles than include them in the album. And so gives you more content, gives you more music to release. And it kind of builds to this whole marketing thing. And then again, just lending true to that storytelling and marketing, you're able to capitalize on that so much more with an album. And the marketing can go for like almost an entire year. I mean, you can do like you're creating stuff right now that you're going to be promoting the album for probably, I'm sure, the next 3 to 6 months. You could get a remix album set up where artists come remix it. Now you're promoting that, which you could promote that for another 6 months and go on a tour with an album. Like creating an album can almost set your entire career up for the next 2 to 3 years. Like, you can write out an outline of what's the bigger picture of telling this entire story. What does it look like, right? Maybe it took you 2.5 years to write an album. You probably can take out of that 2.5 years, 2.5 more years to promote everything. Like, you're able to do that. So it's a smart move all around.
I would say, yeah, I mean, it obviously has its ups and downs. There's reasons to and reasons not to. I would say if you're listening to this and you're wondering if you should make an album, don't make an album. You have to make an album because you really fucking want to.
Yeah.
Like, and it was always a goal that I had, you know, growing up listening. Like, most of my formative music experiences were, like, listening to albums, and that, like, those albums, like, shaped my listening influence for the rest of my life. Like, Linkin Park, Hybrid Theory, when I was just a wee young lad, was, like, truly my first formative music experience. And that is, you know, something that's powerful. And so, like, if you're gonna take the other reason I say write an album because you fucking have to, it is so much work. Like, and there's so many things that you don't think about in just, like, releasing singles that now all of a sudden you have to take a whole bunch more time to, like, figure out X, Y, and Z on top of actually writing good music. And then anything else, like, you know, you want to get in there as far as, like, a conceptual framework for a story and all of that. Like, you end up biting off a lot, and chewing it is sometimes very difficult to swallow because it's just so many things that you have to tie together that make writing the music just a little bit more difficult. Like, you, like, everyone knows that feeling when you're writing a song and, like, it wants to go somewhere else, and usually following where that song wants to go is going to make a great song. And that might be perfect for writing singles. But if you're trying to, like, tell a story or, like, be cohesive with the sound and the textures and, like, the feel, the sonics of it, like, you can't just let it roam. It's not a wild horse here. We gotta rein it in a little bit. And it can be really brutal on your creative process. Like I said, if you are wondering whether you should write an album, it's too much work, honestly, to even really say that it's worth it unless you really fucking care about it and you want to make something special for people. I mean, that was really the goal of the album for me, right? Like, if you like what I do, I was aiming to provide a similar experience that I had listening to Welcome Reality for the first time, or listening to that, you know, Hybrid Theory for the first time, like I mentioned. Like, just you absolutely get transported into it. It sounds, like, fresh and new, and, like, it just opens up, like, parts of your mind that you didn't really know about. And, like, that was really what I hoped to accomplish, but it ended up being so much work.
Yeah, it's not easy. That the forced you are forcing creativity in a mm-hmm. way, which is probably the worst way to write music.
It's the worst. It's,
especially when you're like, all right, I've finished track 6. I have to get 6 more done, and they have to follow this storyline and follow this same direction. Like, you really can't, you know, go off the beaten path, because that's where it just, you're not in that space of the album, and it doesn't make sense. Like, you have to make the listener, when they listen to track 2, and by the time they get to track 8, things need to make sense. Like, they can't just go, you know, track 8 can't go next to track 2. It might be out of place and sound a bit fucking weird. So it's like, you have to be able to guide them through this journey in a way that it makes sense. It's a very similar way when you're writing a single, where it's like, things need to make sense for the listener. When they're listening to a single, they should hear a new melody come in, or a new bass line, or some new fill that goes, oh yeah, that makes sense, that should be there. And when you don't do that in an album, it just, yeah, it gets weird. It's like, it's almost like it turns into a compilation album of different singles that you've made, and it's not the right, it just doesn't sound right. I'm curious, Did you do any like prep work for this album? Not and like exclusively prep work for production and just songwriting in general. Exclude marketing or promo, like forget about that. But creatively, did you do any sort of prepping like storyboarding or anything like that to try to like help yourself along the way and get a feel for the bigger picture of the whole?
Yeah, totally. So like it really started with the conceptual framework for the story. And it was really just one song that I was working on that I like stumbled across some like interesting vocal samples that I ended up like completely replacing later. But those samples that I like pieced together, they were like some little spoken word bits. Like I just had this weird like aha moment of like what could be a clever twist for the ending to the story of the album I wanted to write. And I was like, holy shit. Okay, that actually works. Like, let's say that's the ending, and then let's work backwards from there, and then, yeah, use that to create a conceptual framework for what the story is. And then when I was writing the songs, it was never like, okay, I got to sit down and write track two today. Because that would never fucking work at all. The only one that I actually had to do that with is track one, because I knew it, like kind of what I wanted that one to do. I wanted this like kind of a big, like melodic, ethereal, like intro that like puts you in a place and then like kind of break that and like, you know, if you listen to the first song on the album, you kind of understand, but it's like,
yeah, it's a very nice setting.
And then like it gets darker and darker. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, it's getting real. But like that song was the, like, I wrote like five attempts at making the first song, and finally that one was the one. And when I finally like got that whole intro bit, I was like, yes, I could breathe.
Because
I knew that that was going to be one that really, I mean, it really matters, dude. If the first song hooks people, like you're probably going to listen to most of it. I mean, depending on your attention span and what you're doing, like not everyone always has time to listen to a whole album. But if you listen to the first song, you'll probably be like, and you like it, you'll be like, you'll either save it or be like, oh, I got to listen to this whole thing now, or I'm going to listen to this whole thing tonight or whatever. So I knew it was important to get that one right. But yeah, it was mostly like writing. Normally I start out by writing a song, like just on a guitar, just writing a riff or some chords or something. And then I would kind of see how those chords felt like emotionally, and then be like, okay, let's reference the storyboard, like the thematic outline. And like, where do these chords feel like they could go? And then when I, you know, kind of landed on a spot for where in the story it would make sense, then I started fleshing out the lyrics, if it had any, and then sung those and then wrote the rest of the song to kind of contextually fit in that spot.
You sang, I was wondering if those were your vocals on that side from the female ones. You sang on it?
Yeah.
God fucking damn it, dude. Holy shit. Okay. Yeah, that makes it just so much better. I was listening, I was like, this sounds like Evan's voice, but I'm not sure. That's honestly my favorite part about albums, is when they get the same vocalist for every, again, Glitch Mob does that.
Yep.
Above and Beyond does that. They have, mm-hmm. you know, a specific male like and female vocalist that they only ever use for everything. And then Nero, obviously. But that's the, when it's, again, it lends itself to the story, where it's like there's almost a narrator there. And unless, you know, if you have three or four vocalists that are all on the same album, it breaks away from the storytelling. It takes you out of the story, because when an unrecognized voice pops up where you're like, wait, they haven't been on the last six tracks, what's going on? It's a little confusing and weird. I do like the two, you know, if you have a male and a female and they bounce off every other song or whatever, every few songs. I like that. I think that's great. A great way to do it. But damn, you, with the fact that you did it, oh my God, that's so much more perfect. Who's the female vocalist that you got?
Yeah, Dream Tonic. She's super sick. She has like such an ethereal quality to her voice. She actually, so in the story, like she is like obviously the like, it was necessary to get a female vocal based on like how like the story is written. And she actually did, she recorded all of the vocals for Transcend as well, like the spoken word stuff, because like in the story, she's that character. And she's super awesome. A, great music, and B, amazing voice. C, super professional and great to work with. Honestly, most of the reason I ended up doing my own vocals is because working with vocalists is expensive if you want someone that's really fucking good. And you just pull your fucking hair out if you have a specific vision and you want them to do it a certain way. And it's just like, singing is really personal. And to get a good take, you have to be in that headspace. It doesn't matter if you can sing or you can't sing at all. If you're in that headspace and you make it believable, like that will translate. And I was struggling with having songs that I had, you know, either paid for or had a friend or a friend of a friend do vocals. And it's just like, not exactly what I wanted. And even like when you, like when I paid for it, it was like, you know, like, let's do some revisions. Like, I, like this should be more like this. And fucking, it's not for a lack of explaining what I wanted, but you just never got it. And so I was like, I don't have the best singing voice, but I'm going to Tim Ferriss this shit. I'm going to buy a $39 vocal course and fucking sing 15 minutes a day for a year. And luckily, in the electronic music space, we don't have to.
You don't have to sing.
We don't have to get it right. Yeah, we don't have to sing A and B. You don't have to get it right the first time. Yeah, like literally, every song that you hear vocals from me, minimum 50 takes on every section, and that's for one pass through. And like, for instance, I'm Okay Alone. I had to record an entire songs with her vocals 5 times.
Oh my God.
5.5, really, because I had to do the first verse 6 times. But I mean, it really is just like, I don't, like, I'm not a, like, you know, listening to the music, you'd be like, oh, singing is integral to him. Like, I'm not a singer. Like, I just know exactly how I want it to sound, and I took a little bit of course online to figure out like the basics, and then I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do this until I get the take that I want, and that's the one you hear.
Is this the first time you've sang on your own tracks?
The only other one that ever had a vocal from me was Violence that I released in like 2019 or 2020. But I mean, all of that stuff was like very like, nah. It's not like,
it's
like
not actually passionate like this. Yeah. It's not. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you can hear everything about the, I mean, it's just, the lyrics, God, fuck, man, it's giving me goosebumps. I'm going to rewatch the video again. Like, yeah. Before it gets really, it's so fucking good. Which, I guess we could start getting into that. By the way, I'm realizing now we never even fucking said the name of your album. The name of Rip Kenny's album is Escapism. Great name for the track. How'd you come up with that name for the track? Or album, sorry, not a track, album.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck, that's actually a good question. How did I come up with the name for it? Really, it was like I've always felt like the genesis of the music that I have loved in album format, and like the experience that I wanted to provide was like an escape. And I don't know when or how it happened, but like the word escapism just like entered the field, and that just became a very obvious choice for what it should be. I was actually like slightly unsure about that for a little bit, because like it's not necessarily a word that everyone would instantly be like, escapism. Oh yeah, that's like a syndrome or a thing where you're like getting away from the mundane and engaging in like, you know, something other than reality or like whatever it is. Like most people don't, I don't know. I wasn't sure if everyone would get it, but then I was like, it just makes so much sense. It's gotta be it.
It is it's a perfect fucking album name. Like, I don't think I would be able to come up with a better album name. It wraps everything up in the best way possible. What to you, because I think this is going to be different for everyone else that may listen to the album. For you personally, as the creator and writer of the album, what does the story mean? And specifically, what does that story mean to you?
Yeah. So I would say that, like, for me, kind of the meaning of it, it's tough because I don't want to bastardize the meaning of it for other people, because it's intended to be able to be like taken your own way, and like just enough room for you to interpret your own way. But I will say that, like, the feel of it to me always felt kind of like a dark Zelda story of some sort.
Like that.
Yeah. And so like for like the visual and like the whole aesthetic of the video that goes along with it, that's what I leaned into. But if you think of the general arc of, you know, like a Zelda adventure, that would be kind of the rough, like super rough framework for what's going on. But obviously with a much darker, more intense spin on it. And but really, it's like, I will say this, like, a lot of the personal meaning comes from like figuring out who you are as a person, like not relying on other people necessarily, and really just like going on that adventure to like find who you are and like your purpose for being here, for what you're gonna do on this weird like
plane of existence.
Yeah, where we won the cosmic lottery of being a human being on this planet in this time period with the resources that you do. If you're listening to this, like, really it's just intended to be like, yeah, just like an exploration of fucking figuring that out.
Yeah, let's jump into some of the marketing and promo that you're doing. Obviously, the big reveal is the video that you've got going on. But as you've been writing the album, what has been your idea to the approach of promoting? Because promoting an album, I think, is close to being just as difficult to writing it, because you've put years of work into it, so much emotion, so much focus, and just you give it your all, right? And it feels like you cross the finish line of finishing the album, getting ready to release, and you're like, I can relax now. But now it's like, well, no, I want people to listen to this. So now I have to put just as much effort, and the finish line is, you know, the goalposts get pushed a little bit. What's been your approach for the last year while you're wrapping up the album, thinking about how you want to promote it and what avenue you want to go into promoting and marketing it?
Yeah. So first of all, the biggest thing that I had in the back of my head for like releasing and marketing the album was like, obviously I think a lot of reason people don't release albums nowadays is because there's a lot of music on that album that doesn't hit release radar, that isn't getting pushed, you know, that's not getting the full benefit of the doubt that you'd get in a standard release ecosystem on Spotify. And so that was really like a big like question mark for me, like how I want to do that to make it as just to like get the most out of it, right? To maximize it. So what I ended up doing is releasing 7 singles of the 14 songs before the album came out. And unknowingly, that ended up being a great number, because if you were to do a marquee campaign on Spotify, which is the thing that like pops up and says new music from this artist that you hit dismiss on every time. But, but if you saw an artist name that you're like, wait, I like them, you might go to their profile and find the song. Regardless, it is a perfect way to be like, hey, you might have missed this otherwise.
Remember me?
Yeah. Like, maybe you do, maybe you don't, but you're going to know that there's some new music out. And I think that that's half the battle, honestly. Like, most music marketing is focused on just like letting people know it exists. Because once they know it exists, they can listen to it. And that sometimes is a random assortment of how much they care and how much they like what you do and how much time they have that day, like literally. And if you can just capture their attention enough to be like, hey, this person has a new thing, if you like what they do, that is like all you can hope for, really, right? But if you have released more than half the songs on the album that you put out beforehand, you're not able to make a marquee campaign for it. And I didn't even know that. And I was setting up a marquee campaign for when the album dropped on Spotify. And I was like, oh shit. If I released one more single, I would have been screwed. Which I almost did too, but so that was really the biggest thing. And having basically a single come out every 4 weeks for 7 months was just kind of like a good way to prime the engagement for the fact that like it is coming. Like you had 7 months to kind of like know that this is a single from the album that's gonna drop, you know, seven chances to figure that out. And so I think that really helped.
Did you see the hype being built every time you released a new single for the album? Like, did you see more people engage asking where the album is and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because like the platform that like I have had the most success on is Spotify, and you don't really get as much of that type of feedback. But the YouTube channel Valiant, if you're familiar, I think they used to be called Heroic, potentially. Anyways, they're a pretty big sized YouTube collective, like, you know, half a million subscribers. The dude that like curates that stuff, just like, I don't know how he found my stuff, but just, you know, hit me up on Instagram, was like, yo, I really like what you do. And I looked up who it was. I was like, oh, shit.
Okay.
Yeah, sick. Here's, I'll send you some of the stuff that's going to be on the album. And he was like, sick. And so he ended up releasing basically every single that came out on his YouTube channel. And that was huge for me because A, it hit a bunch of people that I never would have had access to before. And also it's like, it's a good cosign, you know, for if like that channel has like Kaiwachi and Fitch and stuff. And like a lot of guys that like, I think are super sick, and like Ymir and, Anima Drop and a lot of other people that are like related artists to me on Spotify. And so it just really ended up being a good fit for that. But to your point, I noticed in the response on those videos where there was like a pretty active listenership, like there were repeating comments where people be like, oh shit, I didn't know about this guy until I saw a song you posted from him 3 months ago. And, you know, I love this one too. Like, hell yeah. I'm glad you showed us this guy, and like, I'm excited for the album. So I definitely did notice it in that regard, but, It's weird, like not all of the singles that I thought were just gonna absolutely smash, like smashed. Letting Go.
That's always the case.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Letting Go, which was the first single that came out, which like I think is probably my favorite. That's really hard to say. But it's the first one that came out because it is the most indicative of the style that I'm trying to do, I think. And like that one did pretty freaking well. And then the rest You know, like I'm Okay Alone has done pretty good so far, but all of that, when you're trying to build good data, it's a slow burn. And you know, never happens as quick as you'd like, but as long as you don't murky the waters or muddy the waters of that data, eventually you know if you can get enough streams in the early period, like it'll pay dividends in the end, because you'll hit all the Discover Weekly and all that stuff that you want to have, that kind of repeating basically growth that you don't have to work for. But yeah, so I would say that like there was a steady increase in my Spotify audience. There was obviously a steady increase in people giving shit about the stuff that was posted on YouTube from Valiant. And yes, but like I said, it's really hard to gauge how much people actually cared.
Yeah, unless you have a crazy following on Insta or, you know, somewhere where someone can, where people can comment, it is really tough when you're, you know, your focus is on totally places like Spotify.
Totally. And like I'm not the guy that posts on Twitter every day, like five times a day. Like I'm the guy that posts on Instagram like once or twice a week when I really feel like I have something worth sharing. And like I respond to every Instagram message that I get, but it's not like my inbox is flooded with people that I'm in direct contact with all the time. But that being said, the people that do reach out just randomly, there's like, I definitely feel like the album has served its purpose in like, I mean, that's such a weird way to put it, but the album has like accomplished in a way what I was hoping for, because I've got some messages from people that are like, you know, basically like explaining how that it means to them what I had hoped that it would mean. And that was huge for me, especially if you're going to take the time to write an album, like you pray to God, people actually, that it means something to people, right?
That's everything. I mean, that's like the whole reason you want to write an album is you have a story you want people to tell and you want them to respond to that. And, you know, you want them to relate to it. So getting those messages of, yeah, I can't even imagine getting a message like that where they're like, this is amazing. The change my life sort of message that you only as a musician, you only dream to get that message one day where it's like, you changed my life. Cause that's what we're here to do. Like we want to make cool sounds that people respond to and they enjoy. And we want it to mean something to someone. So congrats on that. That's fucking incredible. I mean, that is probably one of the hardest things to do in music. So congrats. Congrats to that, man. What are you doing with the post-marketing? Cause I know you got something in the works.
Yeah. So, I guess it would be good to mention that I've actually been thinking about this a lot lately. Like a lot of artists, myself included, for a long time have basically posted a bunch on the lead up to release, and telling people to pre-save the track and all that good stuff. No one pre-saves tracks. No one does.
It also
does
like nothing for you.
Like if you can the amount of work that it would take to get 100 people to pre-save your track, like, is so inordinate compared to like how much it'll actually do for you. Like I have realized that putting all of that, like burning yourself out on feeling like you've told everyone about it before it comes out, I don't know if that's the right way to do it. Like it still seems like that's what people are doing, but I've come to realize like I'm gonna try and do a little bit more after it comes out, not blow my load before it comes out. And then I'm the type of person, like I said, like I only post if I feel like I have something that like you would want to see and that you're not like fucking this guy again. And that means that like there's only a limited amount of things that I feel like is natural to post about any given song or whatever. And if I use all those up before it comes out, then it's like, well, that was it. Hopefully you listened to it when you probably didn't pre-save it and you probably didn't remember that it came out on this day.
Well, people can only take so much hype too. where it's like, okay, I get it. And then usually they, especially if those posts don't do well, well, then when you have your day of post where it's like, it's out now, that might get buried because Instagram goes, oh, he didn't get much engagement on the last ones. We're not going to push this as much today. So it's like, yeah, you don't really want to blow that load too soon. And the post release, I really do think is the most valuable because it's readily available.
Yeah.
Like, that's can tell people, go listen now instead of go listen in 2 weeks. Well, it's like, oh, I don't fucking
know. Okay, seriously, dude, weeks. Like people's like that is really the thing that like didn't make sense to me. I'm like, in today's world where people's attention spans are getting shorter and shorter, like you got to catch them in the moment and they have to do the thing then. And a pre-save we already know is too many steps, or it asks you to sell your soul and you're like, nah, I don't feel like doing that. Or you do, and then it redirects you to Facebook and it didn't work and you're like, fuck it, I'm out. Like, you need to capture that limited amount of time that they're willing to do something for you, to support you, in a time period where they actually can. Like you literally have told them to do so many things like before it actually even matters, and then by the time it comes out, they're like, I don't know if I even care. They're exhausted. So, kind of leading into basically what I am planning on doing for the album is, so I have this video that kind of like, it is the story in visual form with some actual written story pieces that come in and out, that are just like kind of typed, you know, like if you were playing Zelda and you were getting some narration at the bottom, like that's what it's like. And that, having that video now done, dude, like now I just have unlimited content for the foreseeable future. I know, of course, I'm going to burn out and be like, people have seen me posted about this too much, but I'm going to like tell myself not to do that this time because there is so many pieces of that I could use.
You've got 60 minutes of video that you can break everything down into 10-second clips and have 600 clips just like that. That's not even including like, oh, I can post a 1-minute clip in addition to that. Like, it's unbelievable how much content. And this is one of the reasons why I tell producers, do music videos, because again, that's something you can take 5 minutes and trim that down into so many pieces of content. The amount of content you have aside from the work of body itself is unbelievable.
Yeah, it's definitely, it was kind of a slow burn into begrudgingly accepting the fact that I had to figure out how to make some sort of visual stuff to go along with it.
Wait, you learned how to, while you're like creating the video, you're learning on the fly. Let's go through that. That's fucking crazy. Because also, I mean, not only did Evan sing on his own tracks, write this whole album, but he's also creating this video. That is, I watched it. It is breathtaking to say the least. But I gotta say that like, it sucks you in. It's like one of the best ways I can explain it. It's like the best and worst parts of an acid trip or like taking mushrooms. That is the best way I get, like the darkest moments in the middle of the peak where you feel like you are losing, you're losing touch of reality. You're losing your mind and it gets really dark. And then out of nowhere, you see a light come in and you're like, okay, something's going on. And then all of a sudden it becomes really beautiful again and you can relax and take a deep breath before it throws you back into the waves where you're like, holy, this is probably the best explanation I can give for it. And it's so fucking movie. And the visual representation plays so well to the idea of the album taking you on a journey because you're actually physically seeing the character go through a journey in nature while this chaos seems to be going. Like it's so fucking perfect. It's so good. How did you,
I'm so happy to hear you say that.
How did you get the idea to create this? First of all, let's just start there. How'd you get the idea? Like at what point did you say, oh, I'm going to make a video and this is the idea of what it's going to be?
Yeah. So the like the concept of having an album that pairs with a video with some story is actually like kind of a really long-standing idea that I've had. Like when I knew that I wanted to give music like basically all of my time and attention, you know, you always start wondering like what is the ultimate form of what you could deliver at a high level. And this was kind of in the back of my head what I felt like would pair with the music that I wanted to make. The genesis was an idea that I've had for like maybe 8 years on the format. It was basically when I knew that I, you know, like I was finally like, okay, I have the chops to make the level of quality of an album that I know it's going to deserve. Like, let's start, you know, conceptualizing what the video would look and feel like. And, it was really just like a slow chip away at it. Like anything, like making a song, it's not like you write the whole thing in your head and then put it in the computer and then it's done. Super easy, right? Like, no,
push a button.
Yeah. You done. Chip away at it. That's one of the beautiful things about electronic music is that you can chip away at it bit by bit. You can add this thing and you're like, no, that doesn't work. Add, you know, try it again. Add something else.
There's a really fucking amazing thing about electronic music that you don't see in other genres.
Yeah.
Unless you have the genius to be able to like write, record everything, record instruments, record vocals. Yeah. And, you know, very rare people, few people can do that. So that is a blessing. Sorry, keep going though.
Yeah, totally. So that's basically the conceptual framework. And then like I wasn't learning everything on the fly. Like I've had Premiere for maybe 2 years now, and I had been creating like 30 to 45 second clips of stuff that I could use to promote the songs I was putting out along the way.
That was you in the like, because you do mountain biking, you do motocross too, right?
Yeah.
You're hiking in it. You're snowmobiling. On a fucking snowmobile. Yeah. Like, I was like, I loved it because it was like almost through each chapter, you were like the main character, you were like going on it, like continuing this everlong journey, but in almost like a new landscape and on a new activity. So it really elevates it where it feels like you're going somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a big part of what I wanted it to feel like, you know, like, just say it's a Zelda adventure again, like, you know, like each place has a very defined feel. It has music that is associated with that place. It has textures and sounds and, you know, just overall aesthetic that fits that location. And that was really the biggest thing for me, is that like the visual, whatever it was, just had to feel like it put you in that place. And honestly, like half the genesis of the brand of the music that I make is like truly like linked to all this, you know, stuff that I do outdoors. Like I raced downhill mountain bikes for 12 years professionally at the end of that stretch. Snowmobiled for a very long time, like rode dirt bikes for just about the same amount of time. Like my family growing up was like one of those families that like had dirt bikes and snowmobiles, but our TV was like fucking like 20 inches. Like no one came over to our house. Like I went to other people's houses. Our house was not fun to come to, but like we had this, we had some fun stuff to do outside. And so that's always kind of been like really ingrained into me. And like the representation of my music, when I finally realized, like, you know, for the Rip Kenny project, I was like, you know, I'm going to stop trying to make stuff that fits this thing that I like already. Like, I'm just going to take all of the things that I like the unique Venn diagram that is literally my complete music taste, and just paint whatever is in the center of that and make that. Like, the same thing is like for the brand. Like, all of that stuff is like very, like, that's that's what I like to do outside of making music. And like, it's such a huge part of me. It's not like, you know, it was a little hobby that I did for a year. Like literally before I did music, like my singular focus was downhill mountain biking. Like if you look up like Red Bull Rampage or something like that, like that's kind of akin to what I was doing. But, basically all that to say, like all of the shots from nature in the video were stuff that I had taken and had been like storyboarding, like, okay, so I need something that's like in the desert. And me and my homie went out to this thing called like the Unrally in the Alvord Desert in like Southeast Oregon. And anytime I like go, you know, to a cool place, I'm like, oh, I should probably bring the GoPro. And then I was like, I got there and I was like, holy shit, this is going to be perfect. But all of that was like in like part of the 2.5 year process of writing the album was also conceptualizing like how the story and the visual were going to link up and how it was going to look. And then I was like intentionally trying to get stuff that would match the feel of all of these different things. And then like, obviously like you have a big grandiose list of all these things you want to include and you end up with like half the content that you want, but you make it work. And really just in the end, it was, I wanted the video to feel like an authentic representation of me, not in like a, like here, look what I do, but like just in the same way that the music is like exactly what the, you know, the center of my taste. I wanted the video to feel like that, like it was in the wheelhouse of my brand and fit like, you know, I like if you listen to the album while you go skiing or go mountain biking or hiking or anything like that, you'll realize like, shit, this feels right. And I think, you know, it's not like I was in writing this, so like, oh, I'm going to go mountain biking to this song. But I feel like when you're trying to be just like a true representation of yourself, like it ends up, your experiences end up bleeding into the stuff that you make, right? And I like, ultimately, I just wanted the video to feel the same as that. And that was really like what I was trying to do.
You fucking nailed it. There's no, I don't think there is going to be any better way to, well, you know, I don't want to speak for others, but for me personally, I don't think there's a better way to listen to this album, experience this album without that video. It fucking, because I listened to the album when it was released separately, just the whole audio, and then seeing the video, it was like re-listening to the album again, and it's hard to put it into words. Like there's element. I mean, the best thing you can do with this video when it releases, those of you listening, on a Friday night, get a drink, turn the fucking lights off, put this on a TV on a nice sound system, and sit back and just enjoy. There's probably no in the dark. Turn the fucking lights off and just watch the screen and listen to it, because there's moments. I mean, there's so many melancholy moments while watching the video. There's moments where you're listening to the music and you're watching what's on screen. You're watching the narration, and you can't, even if you're with people, you can't help but feel like you're alone. Like it sucks you in, and there's this lonely part of it. And then the fucking like, the drop hits, and it's just it's a fucking journey, and it's fantastic. And some of the way you did the art style is, I'm just thoroughly impressed, because everything goes so well with the music. There's a specific moment where I believe you're on a dirt bike, and I think it's chapter 7 or chapter 8, I can't remember. And there's a couple of moments, my two favorite moments, and I think they might be around this chapter, but there's one specifically when you're on your dirt bike where it opens up to like these dunes or these mountains, and it's like swirling with yellow and red in the background, and it's the trippiest thing ever, because it's like the swirls are moving along, but the character's heading straight. It's the craziest thing ever. When I saw that, I was like, oh my, that was a huge goosebump moment where I was like, oh my God. And I couldn't like stop watching it. And then there's another one where I think it's like it's either in the middle of a drop, you're mountain biking, It's either in the middle of the drop or a build up to the drop, and you start like there's like a circle on the screen that shows you, and then it zooms out and you have one of those panorama like 360 cameras, and it like shows you, it's like you're the center of the earth, and it shows you and you're riding, and then it fucking bloops out and it gets smaller, and then the drop hits it. It was one of the coolest fucking effects where I was like, oh my god, it was fucking incredible. So that's probably the best way I think to experience this album in general for me, is like just putting that on at nighttime, turn the fucking lights off and just cruise. Cause it is something fucking else, dude.
Dude, I'm so happy to hear you say that. Cause honestly, like you're the first person to watch the full cut of it. And like a lot of that stuff, like for instance, like with like editing the footage from the GoPro with the 360 camera, I'm like, oh, it looks cool when I go out to like little person on a world view and then like zoom back in, and like you make all those cuts and you create a video, and then like I take that video and put it into a separate piece of software to like make it look all trippy and stuff, and then put that into Premiere to cut the whole thing. But doing all of that, just like, oh, I think this looks cool, like I, you know, you always wonder in the back of your head, like, is this going to translate? Like, are other people going to think it's as cool, like, just because they're watching it, not because they know, like, oh, this was this place, and oh, this was super fun, I was riding my dirt bike here, like, whatever. Like, are people even going to give a shit? So to hear that from you fucking absolutely means the world.
Yes, I'm happy to say it's... I can't. I'm probably gonna rewatch it again tomorrow. it's so fucking good. God damn it, dude. I love the effects that you do on it. It's very unique because it does lend itself to that like 90s style,
yeah,
Zelda, you know, NES video game with, mm-hmm, the like pixel. Like it's so trippy because you're watching and you're like, is this low quality? And then you're seeing other stuff with super smooth frame rate, but then you're seeing a bunch of pixelated stuff and you're like, oh no, that's intentional. And you keep watching it, and it's just the patterns that you get out of it. It's all very unique. So I'm very happy this is the direction you took it, because I think it represents the album probably, I think, in the best way.
No, totally. You
could possibly do that.
Yeah. It was one of those things where I was like, I don't have a nice camera. Like I don't have like world-class editing chops, but what I do have is my own taste for I think what would look cool. And once I realized kind of like the aesthetic of like dark Zelda game, I just leaned into that. And then really once I like figured that out, I was like, okay, cool. So like if I like, I'm not gonna compete on the high, like it's not gonna look like a red camera and 5k, like I'm gonna make it feel right, and if it feels right, that's what mattered. And then that's kind of like what guided like all the choices for the effects and the shit that I did. But I love that you mentioned like watch it in a dark room, like with a nice sound system on a TV, because ideally like that is the setting that you would get the full effect. Like honestly, it's funny because like, okay, so let's take a metaphor of like there's 100 people at a party and you put the album video on a TV. Like 80 people at the party listening to the music are like, cool, oh yeah, I like this music. 20 people don't give a shit. 15 or 20 people at the party like notice the video and like think it's cool, but they're like talking to some girl they're trying to get with or whatever, and they're like, oh yeah, great. And then there's 3 kids on the couch high as balls,
yeah,
not saying a word, just staring with their mouth open like, are you guys fucking seeing this? Am I the only one that's actually watching this? Like that's really that's kind of like in my head. I don't know why that just popped into my head, but like,
yeah, that's true.
The goal for it was like you can like interact with it at the level that you have the attention span for, right? So like either like you just listen to the album on Spotify and you're like, yeah, this is cool, or you throw the video on in the background and you know you have the music coming through your sound system at a party and there's like a cool visual to have on the TV, or you're that kid like basically you have the time and attention to like actually sit down and watch a 58 minute like movie essentially of music that you like, and you know, and the visuals and the story, like it's going to deliver an experience that is worthy of you sitting down in the dark and watching it.
You're going to get an experience. This is what's so unique about this video explicitly is there's not another experience you're going to get with this. That I can't think of a single album. I can't think of a single movie. Can't think of a single video that you can watch from start to finish the way you watch the album and get the same thing. There's nothing there. It's a different experience. Like you'll never see. And that's, I think, what makes it so unique. It makes it so good and draws you in. It makes you want to rewatch it again, because nothing's going to scratch the itch the way that one does. And I think that's why it's going to do so well.
Yeah. I mean, hopefully, I mean, really, truly, it was a very like intentional effort to make the video have a lot of like subtle detail that like when you watch it the second time, you'll pick up some other stuff. Like when you watch it the 10th time, you know, if you like it that much and you watch it every 3 months, 'cause you're like, oh, that was sick. Like you'll pick up something new every time. Like there's a lot of really subtle like stuff in the visuals. And like the first time you watch it, like there'll be, you'll be reading like the story and stuff. But like sometimes during the moments of story, there will be some stuff that happens in the visual that kind of like clues you into potentially something else like that could be happening, rather than what would be the most obvious like ending or whatever. And so basically it was a really intentional effort to make it something that you would want to watch multiple times, or that could enjoy watching multiple times, honestly.
What's even better about it too is the fact that like, you can take this video and you can edit it, you can chop it up into different things and add on to it, and this can be tour visuals. Like your entire show can be built around this video you create. Not only that, but you can build your set around it. So it's like the entire tour, or the entire show that you're the entire performance that you're giving to the audience, they can experience something that they've never experienced before, and that they never will experience again. And they can be in the moment, and they can have a story told to them, not just through music, but through visual representation, and just get sucked into it. And again, you can be in a room with 1,000 people and there's moments in it. And there's only one other artist that I can think of that gave me the same experience of being like around thousands of people, but feeling alone in my own moment. And that was Bass Nectar at Paradiso in 2016 when he was headlining. And holy fuck, that was like the one other moment that I can point to where I looked around, there's literally 40,000 people, but I feel like I'm alone in this moment experiencing one of the craziest fucking shows of my life. So the fact that you create this video just add-ons to it gives you an add-on to be able to go in front of a live audience and do a live performance representation of not just the album, but the video itself.
No, 100%. Well, that's definitely the next step for me. I really want to figure out how to package it in a way that would make sense for a live set, because you're not just going to play the album start to finish, right? So like figuring out how to creatively like use, you know, other songs, you know, songs of mine, songs from other people, remixes that I've done, all that, you know, just your general set stuff, and work that into like a tasteful way of presenting the story start to finish. Basically where I want to take this from here. I mean, really, like the video has always been in my head like the ultimate form of what I wanted the album to do. Like, just like I said, like the party metaphor, like the people listening to the music, if they're just listening to the music, it has to stand on its own. Each song has to be something that like you would want to listen to by itself. And that was the biggest goal first and foremost, because if that doesn't work, the rest of it doesn't matter. And then But in the back of my head, it was always like this, like, if you really like what I do, this video is going to be like, it could be a special thing, right? Like if you have the time and attention to sit down and watch it and really like actually watch it, like I wanted it to provide an experience commensurate of the fact that you're taking the time and attention to put into it, right? So it explains the story. It touches on like what's happening in the story, and like I said, there's some subtext that you could draw your own conclusion one way or another. It paints the setting for the story, and it takes you on the journey, and it gives you the clues for like what's happening. And like, you know, it really is the ultimate form of what I wanted the album experience to be. So dude, honestly, like, I'm just so fucking stoked that having this conversation with you, you actually like it. Yeah. Like the amount of work that has come to this point, and to actually have you say like, it's like, you know, it's good. Like, I'm fucking stoked on that.
It's great. It's not just good. People are going to fucking love it. So I'm really excited to see the react. I'm going to call, like, every month I'm going to go onto the video on YouTube and just look at comments, because it's like, I can't see you not getting a lot of great feedback from it. And I'm just so happy that it's great. It's really great seeing yet another artist that's involved in music that's there truly to tell a real story. Because there's hundreds, if not thousands, if not tens of thousands of producers out there that are just, you know, they're writing singles and they're putting out cool tracks, they're writing cool stuff, but there's like, it's missing them and the character that they're representing or the artist that they're representing. There's substance that's not quite there. And again, we can point to the Glitch Mob and Nero, Metric, Linkin Park, like, there's things about those artists that set them apart from everyone else. And there is, it's this substance, it's this storytelling and this ability to like pull you into the moment, and nothing else matters but the thing that you're listening to or watching. And I feel like a lot of electronic music is missing that. There's many artists that just don't encapsulate that. And it's okay if you don't want to. Not everyone has to. Everyone likes their own things. They like different, you know, some people just want an artist who's gonna like create nasty fucking rhythm tracks, and there doesn't need to be a story behind them. That's fine. There's a place to that. But I especially, for me, and I think this just speaks to my personality, is I love the emotion in music, and there's nothing that draws that emotion out better than something like an album that has a story to it. And that's what has made me fall in love with music and want to write music, is those moments of listening to an album at a moment in my life. And it's just like, that's everything right then and there. And it sucks me in. And I always keep going back to it to re-experience that. And so that's why I love album. That's why I wanted to talk to you, and why I was so happy that, one, this album happened. Two, it's as good as it is. And three, you have a great follow-up video for it that just pulls it all together. So it's like, it hits everything. If you had unlimited budget, unlimited free time to plan whatever you want, and there were, you know, you didn't have to worry about any complications, anything like that, what would you do with that time and that money and those resources? Is it something like an album or a festival, or sorry, a tour or like, what would you do if you had unlimited budget, unlimited time, and you could plan whatever you want? Have a talented team of individuals.
Such a good question. You get a blank check to create the ultimate form of what you want to do for whatever audience it is. I was when you started saying it, I was like, wow, this is going to be hard to answer, and then it popped into my head. It's not hard to answer. It would be creating the experience akin to, you know, watching the video in a dark room by yourself, like basically fully being immersed in that experience and taking it and putting it on the pagoda stage at Shambhala and giving that experience to everyone that showed up for the set. That would be the ultimate form of what I want to do for sure. Like I've been going to Shambhala for seventh year going. And that stage has always been like, just, everything at Shambhala is incredible, but the pagoda, I mean, and the village too, it's so hard to pick, but I feel like the pagoda, cause I saw Rez play at the pagoda in like 2018. It was like basically the set that, you know, I don't want to say like catapulted her career into like the next level, but it kind of did, because
put her on the mark.
Like, yeah. After that set, like everyone just was like, started talking about her, and like we told every single person that we knew that liked music about that set, because it was new, it was super fresh, it was super authentic, and it felt like it told a story. It was just one of those sets that, like, those rare sets that you could just stand there blank faced, not even dancing, just being immersed in the experience and be like, that was the coolest fucking thing I've ever seen. And ever since, like, having moments like that, and there have been a few at Shambhala, but that one really is kind of a good example. I want to be able to, just like writing the album is like me trying to provide that experience that like Hybrid Theory did for me when I was a youngster. Like, I want to provide that experience for other people. So to answer your question, that would be it. But just to play at Shambhala at all. Straight up.
If any of the talent buyers anytime at Shambhala are listening,
yeah.
Hit Evan up.
Please do.
I think, like, because I was thinking about that. I was like, what would be a great way to, like, an additional follow, right? If you have unlimited resources and whatnot. Mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. What I was thinking is, like, a virtual reality experience would take it to a whole nother level.
Wow. That's an idea.
It would be so intense. So, because again, like, you can plug headphones into a VR set, so you can legit fucking sit in a chair. And this is very, like, this is very Matrixy, but for the experience, like, sit in a chair, put your VR goggles on, and be able to go through this journey, or shit, even be able to stand up and kind of walk through the journey as well would just be
holy
unbelievable.
Shit.
So,
okay, so fair enough. Like, literally, in my head, the amount of work that it took to write the album and make the visual, I was like, straight up, I'm never writing an album ever again. It's too much. I'm burnt out. I'm actually, right now, I am so burnt out. After finishing the video and the music and everything, I was like, I'm never writing another album as long as I live.
Time to take a two-week vacation.
Dude, so much work. And then I was like, that was basically my mindset. And then you said that, and now I'm like,
how do I get into VR development?
Maybe like 10 years from now,
yeah,
when I finally have the energy to write another album, that's probably what I'll want to do. Like, because that is truly the next level of immersion.
Yeah. You could get it by yourself or with friends. And then be able to take that experience anywhere in the world. Also talk about in 10 years where virtual reality is going to be, like, everyone's probably going to have headsets. It's going to be smaller, going to look way better. You can do way more. So
yeah, hopefully in 10 years I have some budget to have other people fucking help with this shit, because me editing all of the video and everything by myself, like, it's good because I can make it look and feel like exactly how I want, right? But something like VR, like,
it's
gonna take a team.
Like, so it's a team of 20 developers, and it's a whole fucking to do. But man, is there anything else you wanted to touch on? Anything, you know, what's in store for the future of the next year?
Yeah, I mean, for the next year, it's gonna be a lot of, like, actually trying to take the time to promote the album in the way that, you know, I think anyone should, but myself especially. I think every producer listening to this can relate to the amount of work that it takes to make something and then make content for it, and then the amount of work that you end up putting into actually getting it out there is never commensurate to the amount of work that you put in. Gosh dang it, I'm gonna freaking, yeah, I swear all episode and then I don't swear right there. I'm gonna put the amount of effort that it deserves into actually marketing it, and then yeah, just release singles for the next 10 years until I've got the energy to put another album out.
Please do. As like a listener and a lover of your music, please put the love and intention that the album deserves a lot of love and attention. I know it's stressful to hear because now it's like, fuck, I got
to
work.
No, I do. Honestly, I need to hear that shit.
This album deserves as much as you can possibly give into the marketing, because as a listener, as a viewer of the video and every, like, I want people to experience it the way I experienced it. So it's like do what you can to put that out in the world, because it deserves the love and attention. You deserve to get that especially. And so put work into it, man. If you need help with marketing, please hit me up. I am happy to help you out however the fuck I can, because I do want that pushed out. I'm definitely going to be sending it to everyone I know. My dad my dad's going to fucking
sick.
My dad's a visual person, but he loves audio. Like, he's such an audiophile. Has like a fucking $10,000 home audio system set up.
Good.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's fucking all he loves going home, putting on fucking Mark Knight.
Okay.
On one of his albums. Solid. At fucking 12 in the morning, drinking beer and fucking just jamming for 2 hours. That's, like, that's what he does on his off time. So
that's me
too. I'm gonna hand him this fucking video and be like, sit down for, I'm gonna be like, take some mushrooms and sit down for fucking an hour and you're gonna lose your mind. It's the best thing. He's gonna love it. So I'll be sharing it for sure, but give it the love and attention it needs for the marketing. Fuck does it need it, man.
I appreciate every facet of that, man. Seriously.
Of course. Anything you want to plug? I mean, I know the video's not out yet. It's coming out. This episode will be out on October 14th. So
sick. I'll get you, if it's not already out, I will for sure have a date for you that will be in the show notes of all you future people listening. Mm-hmm.
I can add in, I'll even edit the audio and I'll add a snippet at the end too, to tell people when it's out or if it's out. So
yeah, sick. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's really it. I do have a few songs I've been working on lately that I actually really, really like as well. And I feel like, cause like writing the album, I was always like, in the last, 6 to 9 months when I've not been writing new music, I've been forcing myself just to like engineer and finish everything and make content. You get that little voice in the back of your head, like, can you write good music still? Like, can you?
Dude, I had that experience last week. I'm doing a thing, or I'm writing a track a week right now. And a couple weeks ago, I wrote a track in like a day, took a few hours, like, sick. All right, this is going to work. And I was like, Monday, I'm starting a new one. Monday came around, I was like, I don't have anything. Wednesday came around, I was like, did I lose it already? I just had something last week. And then Friday, Saturday, I was like, I think I fucking, and then Saturday hit, I was like, I'm just gonna write some bullshit, just I'm gonna get something done.
Yeah.
And then yesterday it was like, oh fuck, I've got something. And then today I'm like, oh my god, I've got something so good right now.
Send it to me.
It's the best. But I know it's coming again next week, where I'll be like,
no, of course,
fuck, I think I lost it.
Yeah. Dude, literally, basically the same shit. The same shit happened to me. I literally had a weekend where my girl was out of town and I was like, I'm going to do nothing. And then I just like in the morning started playing guitar. And then I was like, oh, I kind of like that. And then put it into Ableton. And all weekend was just making the song. And then now I was like, oh shit. Okay, sweet. You can still do it.
Sick. Got it. What's even, dude, I've gone on, because, I've spent the last 3 years not really, I've been writing music, but not a lot. It's like maybe a track every month. At the worst, it got like, I was writing a track every 3 months. But I remember getting those moments of like, fuck, I haven't wrote in a while. I feel like I should. I don't know if I can anymore. And getting in and yeah. writing the best thing, I'm like, oh, yeah. I still got it. Thank God. That's all I need. Yeah, I need that.
I know, that, right? Like,
I just need to reaffirm myself that I can still do it.
Why isn't one time of that happening enough? Why do you have to continually do it?
You're like,
you already proved it to yourself. You came back and you made something as good or better than you were making at the time that you thought was good. It doesn't matter how good you are. You're a 1 year into it. If you take 3 months off, you're going to be like, oh, I don't know. And then you make something that's equally as good or better than anything you've ever made. And you're like, sick, I can.
Yeah. Yeah.
10 years down the road, you're going to do the same fucking thing. Why does that happen?
I have no... It really is like the inherent human nature of needing to make things faster, better, stronger. Like, it's like everything, it always... It's like you always need to top yourself. And if you don't top yourself, that anxiety of like, I'm fucking worthless starts to sink in, which is not true at all, but it's... That you always have to do something. And then it's so funny because you'll write something incredible and be like, I'm a god. I mean, I'm amazing. And then no more than 24 hours, you'll be like, this fucking sucks.
Of course.
This sucks. And then you spend the next, three sessions being like, I can't write shit.
Yep.
And then it happens. It's just a cycle that goes on and we're like, I'm a god. I fucking suck. Yeah. I'm worst. I lost it. Wait, no, I've got it. I'm a god again. It's like, it just cycles in and out. Oh, and it never ends. It never does. The imposter syndrome will always be there, and it's
yeah, man. That's why I can never write another album because it will never be as good.
I guarantee it. I would 3 years, you'd be like, I think I should write another album,
and then it'll be another two before I'm like, okay, yeah, I actually got to do it now.
Oh fuck, man. All right, well, dude. I think that's about it, Evan. Yeah, thank you so much, man.
Dude,
this is
thank you.
I'm honored to have been able to do this.
Honestly, it's fun hanging out with you, man.
Yeah, it is a ton of fun. We'll have to do some more. We'll have to do some collabs or something. Hang out and Zoom. And
if you ever wanted to talk about something just specific and nerdy other than the album, i.e. marketing or modular sound design.
Dude, I've been wanting to get into mods for so long now, so
don't. How much money do you have to lose?
Not enough, but I will do it. I will max out a credit card unresponsibly.
Oh, Sweetwater, they got me with the 24 months no interest financing. Dude. It's only $9 a month.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I got my Sweetwater card, baby, and the limit just went up, so crack some knuckles here, because baby, it's about to get started. Anyways, great, Evan, man. Thank you so much, man, for taking the time. I appreciate you hanging out. And I'll have everything we talked about in the show notes, including your album, link to all that, and your socials. So, yeah.
Sick.
Hell yeah, dude.
Dude, seriously, it's so much fun hanging out with you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you, man. I'll talk to you later.